Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 92.
Hello and welcome to Straight and Curly. This is the first time you guys are hearing this today, but it's the second time I've done it today because I read from the wrong thing 2 seconds ago and we just had to start recording again because it's just that kind of a day today for us. So as we've been doing last season and this season as well, we're going to kick off with one of the lovely reviews we've received from you guys because we just appreciate them so much. And we love being able to give people a shout out on the podcast who have taken time out of their days to figure out the horrific way of leaving reviews in iTunes. Honestly, I think we need to write a book on how to do that.
And how to God. Although I think it's gotten slightly easier. I think you can actually now leave reviews directly from the podcast app on an iPhone, but don't quote me on that.
Yeah, just guys, we appreciate you so much. It's really hard. We get it. This review comes from BethW93. She says, the Straight and Curly podcast has accompanied me on many journeys to and from work, and it's always enlightening, interesting, educational, and entertaining. Kelly and Carly discuss a variety of topics from many different angles, making each discussion relatable. I love their practical approach to day-to-day life and their openness and honesty.
Yeah, thanks so much, Beth. As Carly said, we so appreciate you taking the time to leave a review for us because we know iTunes does not make it easy. So we are always thrilled when people kind of push through and make it happen. So yeah, straight into the show, right? Carls, what are we going to talk about this week?
Well, we're still riding on the coattails of when we asked on Facebook what our listeners wanted more of, and recommendations seemed to be a big thing that people really want lots of. And this episode idea actually came from Julia, and I thought it was such a great idea. So she wanted us to do an article. Oh my God, honestly, my brain.
Sorry, just letting you guys know straight up, neither Carly nor my brain is working today. So who knows what this episode is going to come out like. We may have to re-record it, but cross fingers we won't.
I was having such a productive, amazing on-point day yesterday. I was telling Kelly before we started recording today that at F45, if anyone's ever been to F45, you have to move stations a lot and make sure you're in the right spot. And it changes every day, so it can be quite confusing. But I've been doing it for 2 years, so I should have it down by now. My trainer this morning was just shaking her head at me, being like, Carly, what are you doing? I was jumping pods all over the place and like picking up weights, and these people are looking at me going, dude, you're on my station. What are you doing? So this is where my brain is at today. Lovely Julia came up with this fabulous idea, which I thought was great. And her idea was for us to do an episode on things that are saving our lives right now. So, you know, little bits and pieces of things that just make our lives a lot easier. But just so that we're on the same page, I just wanted to see what you think that means, Kelly.
Yeah, to me, you know, things that are saving our lives means things that we rely on to make life smoother, easier, more bearable, you know, I guess basically things that we would struggle to live without. So is that kind of where you're at on that whole, what this whole topic idea means?
Yeah, definitely. So for me, it basically means anything that makes my life noticeably easier. So if I do a thing or buy a thing and there's a noticeable difference now that that thing is in my life, that's what I would chalk it up to. So on that note, we're just going to go through some things that are saving our lives right now. I'll jump straight into my first one. This one's really interesting and I actually didn't realize it had such an impact on my life, but my first one is my living situation. So Ben and I lived in an amazing location in Fitzroy in this little one-bedroom flat, and we lived there for 6 years. Seriously, it was the size of a hotel room, and two people who run businesses from home lived in that apartment. And we didn't realize, because we get along so well, we are never apart. We were saying this morning how Ben went to send me a text message yesterday, and he was like, the last time I text messaged you was a full week ago, because we're just never apart to send each other text messages. So that's how ensconced in each other's lives we are. And we moved, and granted, we live in a much shitter suburb, but we're we're business owners, so we rarely leave the house anyway. And I've got an actual house that has rooms in it. Like, we've each got our own desk. There's natural light. And I just can't even believe how much more productive I am, how lovely it is to occasionally be in a room that Ben's not in. I mean, I love him to death, but I love being able to go to bed and not have him watching TV like 4 meters from my head.
Yeah.
It's just changed everything. And I just wanted to encourage people, if you don't love your living situation, it's easy to fall into the trap of thinking that everything's fine. But if you have an inkling that your living situation is kind of horrible, do something about it. We waited far too long because moving completely sucks, but it was totally worth it. So if you are living in a house that is just never temperate and you're constantly cold or you're constantly hot and it's costing you heaps of money to heat or cool your place, move. If you live with someone who's awful, move. If you live in a place that's horrible, get out of there. It's making such a difference to my whole life and my well-being. So yeah, that was a really big one for me.
Yeah, a home situation is a huge one for me. I just see home as such a sanctuary. And we don't always get to have a choice in the matter with regard to these things, but if you do get to have a choice in the matter and you have the ability to make your home life a bit better or a bit nicer, a bit more roomier, or, you know, yeah, like you said, you sacrifice living in a cool hipster suburb that suits, you know, your lifestyles quite well and what you like to do for entertainment quite well, but you spend a lot more time at work than you do in entertainment mode. So yeah, if you can make – it's little things like, if – you know, when we bought our house or bought the block that we built a house on, like, it was bought because it was only a few minutes walk from the local primary school, which is where we knew our kids were going. And it's just all these tiny little lifestyle things that you don't realize, like not having to get into a car. Like, you now have to get into a car, but it's worth it.
And it sucks.
But it's kind of worth the trade-off. Whereas, like, yeah, we bought our house in an area where, yeah, if we did have to get in the car, it would only have to really be to travel 10 minutes. But a lot of the time we can get away with not getting in the car. And there's so many like little things that you can do and you don't realize how impactful they are on your life until you don't have to do them anymore. So, yeah.
And also, it's important to look at your circumstances changing as well. So 6 years ago, it was very important for us to live in the trendy suburb that was walking distance from everything. But like, we're old now and we don't leave the house. And, you know, we just kind of really enjoy each other's company and don't really need to see other people that often. So in that 6 years, our priorities changed a lot and we're just so much happier and more productive where we are now.
Definitely. Cool. So my first thing is my two pads system for organizing life, which you can find on Google by searching Kelly Exeter 2-pad. So listeners may not be aware, but I started a graphic and web design business 11 years ago. And 7 years
ago. Was it 11 years ago?
11. That this is like October this year will be 12 years, which kind of blows my mind a bit. But yeah, so 7 years ago, my husband stepped in to run it, which allowed me to step away from the business while our kids were being born and being small. But this year, our youngest started full-time school. So, and it was at the same time we kind of had to make some hard decisions about the business. And one of those hard decisions was to let a staff member go and then have me step back into the business on pretty much a full-time basis. So, and the thing is, my writing and editing business is also going pretty well at the moment. So I'm kind of...
I'm so happy that's working. Yeah. It's such a great idea. And you're so perfect to do it as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm really loving it. You know, when you find that thing that you're quite happy to do it for free and you wouldn't resent doing it for free, but people are quite happy to pay you to do it. Like, it's one of those situations. And it's going really well, but now it means I've effectively got two jobs until we sort out things at work, sort out kind of where the business is going or what, you know, how we want to run it. So things are crazy town at the moment, which means I am completely, totally reliant on my lovely 2-pad system, because what it does is it just helps me feel in control of things when really I'm not, but I feel like I am, and that's the important thing. So that is the first thing that is totally saving me right now. What's your second thing?
My second thing, I know I mention it all the time. I've literally already mentioned it today, but it's F45 and I've just come up to my 2-year anniversary of doing it. And I honestly don't think I'll ever stop doing it. It's just, it's a perfect 45 minute. It's high intensity workout. It's different every day. It's hard work. It took me close to a year to be able to do a full class without just kind of doubling over and being like, like, and having to, you know, modify the exercises. I can now do a full class without having to modify any exercises or take a break. I also particularly love my new F45. So it's a franchise and they're everywhere. Like if you go anywhere, you'll find one. It's just really big and spacious and the trainers are really excellent. And I've exercised 5 times a week for the past 2 years and I almost never skip it and I almost never not feel like going. And it's also like, it's a really powerful workout. I feel really like Lara Crofty in Tomb Raider. It's very... like movie montage, and when you're doing like, you know, you're the best around, nothing's ever gonna get me down. I just get right into it. I just love it. It's, yeah, I know I keep talking about it, but if you haven't tried it, get into it, particularly if you like to imagine yourself as, you know, Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
That's awesome. It's awesome because I can totally picture it, like you are the hero of your workout in your head, but also in the real life of your workout, like fully punching the air.
Yeah, that's it. It's full Rocky Balboa, man.
All right. So the second thing that's totally saving my life right now is white space. And that's because in the past, when life got crazy town like it is right now, the way that I would handle that crazy townness would be, I'd be like, right, okay, you're going to wake up at 4:30 and then between 4:30 and 4:45, you're going to do this. And between 4:45 and 5:15, and I would literally schedule out the whole day from sun up to sundown and every like, and I'd be like, and I'd execute it as well. So I'd be like one thing to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. And that was just a really, really good recipe for burnout. And I did burnout all the time. And the thing is, like right now I've got kids. I think before you have kids, like burnout to your heart's content because you can kind of recover.
Oh, yeah.
when you've got kids, there's no recovering from burnout. You can't. The kids need you and they don't really want mommy to be spending her whole weekend lying on the couch. So I now make sure that there are pockets of white space in the day. And all these are bits of the day where I can move slowly. So it's not like I'm doing nothing, but it means, yeah, I can move slowly. So between like 7 o'clock and 8:30 in the morning, like all I have to do is, you know, make school lunches and, you know, make sure the kids have had their breakfast, make sure they're, you know, dressed, they dress themselves, but, and then kind of get them off to school. So it's kind of a really small amount of things to do in an hour and a half. And all that means is I can just move really, really slowly in that hour and a half so that when I get home from school drop off or when I get into the office from school drop off, I can then go hard again. And then in the afternoons when I get home, again, I can move very slowly. So I think if life is crazy town and you're trying to be super, super productive, make sure you've got those bits in the day where you can move slowly because they're kind of going to give you the recharge that you need to then go hard again. But if you're going hard all day, every day, you're just going to fall in a heap at some stage. And if you're completely burnt out, then you have zero chance to be productive. So yes.
Can I just clarify, did you just recommend using the time that you use to get your kids ready for school as kind of a relaxation decompression time?
Yeah, but it is in my house because they – and I will talk about – we're going to do an episode next week on, I think, productivity hacks for parents. And I know that that sounds ridiculous, but because we have such firm routines and because everybody in my house knows – what's expected of them in the morning. And because I do certain things the night before to set up our mornings, like our mornings are quite chilled. And so I do use that, those, and my kids get up early as well. So I'm not like getting them out of bed at 8 o'clock so that I can drop them to school at 8:30. They're up at 6:30. So they kind of ease into the day in their own ways. And then when I need them to do things, they know what needs to be done, they do it. And because I'm not rushing around as well in the mornings.
Yeah, yeah.
It's quite chilled.
And also an hour and a half is a long time.
It's a really long time.
To get kids ready for school. Like I can remember when I was a kid, it was like, wake up, get your shit together, get in the car, let's go. Like we were never mornings were never relaxed.
Yeah, no, that, yeah, our mornings are. So, and, you know, maybe it's just because we are who we are in my house and we've, and so that facilitates that. But I have done things to kind of set things up so that they are like that as well. So, yes. Your next thing that's saving your life right now?
So my third one is Ponstan period pain medication. So I know that mine are really random, but I was like, these are the things that are just getting me through my life right now. And I think I finally figured out that I'm allergic to naprogesic, which I think has a drug in it called naproxen or something similar. And it really sucks because I get really terrible period pain, but I've switched to Ponstan, which has different ingredients, and so far so good, because I just really can't ditch dairy. I just can't. I can cut back. I cannot have cheese and I cannot have yogurt, but this lovely girl messaged me on Instagram yesterday, and she was going like, why can't we just have a fucking cup of tea? And I'm like, I know. And we were just sort of like having this, and she's sending me all these pictures of coconut yogurt and stuff, and I'm like, oh my god, you're such a darling. And I was like, you're feeling my pain right here. So I can't completely ditch my dairy because I want a bloody milky cup of tea once a day. And, you know, I already don't eat sugar or carbs, so just let me have a bloody yogurt. But thanks to Ponstan, I can have a cup of tea with milk.
And if Ponstan wants to sponsor our podcast, please feel free. Go right ahead.
If they want to ponster our podcast.
Oh, my gosh. All my things are saving my life right now. There's a definite theme going on here, because my third one is our nanny, Mel. I kind of call her my wife. Like, Ant was trying to say the other day that he's got two wives, and I was like, no. Like, Mel is not your wife. She's my wife. And she just comes twice a week. She's just the loveliest person. So she was Mia's nanny when Mia was a baby and when I was trying to work and have a baby. So Mel came and helped us then, and she's just kind of stuck with us over the years. And now she comes two afternoons a week. She picks the kids up from school. She comes home. She sorts them out with their afternoon stuff, like, you know, afternoon tea. She makes dinner. She folds any laundry that needs to be folded, and just kind of is there so that I don't have to be there. And it's just like this little circuit breaker in our life. And the other thing is, I hate cooking, so she cooks four meals on the two afternoons that she's there. Of all the things in the world that are saving my life right now, getting a second wife for two afternoons a week is like totally right up there. And it's not cheap, and we don't pay for it out of the business. We pay for it out of our household money. And this is something I find a lot of people won't pay for household help, even, and I'm not talking people who don't have any disposable income. Like, I'm talking people who do have disposable income, but in their minds, they can't justify it, because why, you know, I should be able to do all of this myself. And the thing is, I could do all of this myself, but then I'm just going to be tired and crappy feeling and resentful when Aunt gets home, because I'm like, you know, you've been at the office and I've been sorting out these kids fighting with each other. And, you know, it's just a lovely circuit breaker. It's money really well spent. We are quite happy to have, like, you know, one less dinner out a week, or one less dinner out every 2 weeks, and one less of something else so that we can pay for Mel. And it's just, yeah, I encourage people that if you can afford to get help, because it just takes the pressure off everybody in the house, not just you. So, yes, that's my third one.
My fourth one is another really random one, but it's, you know, heat up wheat bags that you put in the microwave and you make them hot, and then you like put them on sore spots.
Yeah.
So it's such a random one, but I didn't grow up in a wheat bag house. We just didn't have them. But in Ben's house, heat up wheat bags are on par with coffee. There's a whole wheat bag culture in his family. So, like, if you're cold, you go get yourself a heat pack. If you've got a sore neck, go pop a heat pack on it. Even if you're just feeling a bit sad,
someone will just get a heat pack
and just like hand it to you. And Ben's mum makes them, and makes them from old towels and fills them with, I think, rice, even though we call them wheat bags. I'm pretty sure they're filled with rice. I really need to get more details on that.
I'm not sure they're rice. And because you put them in the microwave, right?
Yeah.
I think they're literally wheat.
I really think ours have rice in them, because sometimes they burst open and rice comes out. Unless wheat looks like rice.
I don't know.
Guys, this is poor information, But thankfully, you can actually buy these. They're available at lots of different places. And so we get given a few of these every couple of years. And I thought it was really weird when Ben and I first started living together because they just sort of started arriving. And I was kind of going, why do we need three of them? And Ben's just going, just calm yourself, Padawan. Like, you'll get there. And yeah, it's just become such a big part of my life now. I have one in bed with me when I'm cold. They're really good for period pain. When I've hurt myself, I just pop one on my neck. They're just, and you know, we have people come over, they're like, oh, my neck's a bit sore. And then you go get them a heat pack and pop it on their neck and they're like, whoa. So if you are yet to have a wheat pack situation, then buy one or keep badgering me and I will figure out how to make them and do a tutorial for you guys.
I love them because I use them. I get really cold feet. Like even in the height of summer, I'll get cold feet. And if I get cold feet, I can't sleep. Like that, if they are the teeniest bit cold.
That's a literal thing. Like that's an actual scientifically proven thing. You can't fall asleep if
your feet are cold. Yeah, yeah. Well, and I literally can't. So yeah, my heat.
But you also can't fall asleep if your body's too hot. So it's trying to get that like balance
body's
between
totally,
the two of
like,
them.
They're so demanding.
Body's a shit.
But yeah, I warm up my, it's my little, each night after we finish watching our show for the night, Ant goes up to bed and I warm up my heat pack for three minutes and 30 seconds. And I just mess around on Instagram. It's my little pre-bed routine. And then, yeah, I put it on my feet when I go to bed and it helps me off to sleep. So yeah, I love my heat
pack. What show are you watching at the moment, Kelly?
Oh, I will share that in a second, actually.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I'll share it now. Maybe. everyone knows that everyone's like, don't tell people how you set up your podcast because they do not need to know. Just, you know, readers just – and don't let them know that you have notes because it's like you're just having a conversation. It's like, okay, we're having a conversation, but we totally have notes.
Oh, we have – but we have very, very basic notes just so that we don't forget what we're saying. But, well, I mean, we're bad enough with our notes, so we basically might as well not have
them. But I'm going to say, like, this is not my next point, but since you asked and it's a natural segue – that my show that I'm loving at the moment is The Good Wife. And I think I mentioned it on
I think you did.
In our last episode. But yeah, so like our evening routine is we put the kids to bed somewhere between 7 and 7:30 and then we watch a show on Netflix, like one episode. We try not to binge and then we go to bed. And so like after we finish Suits, which everybody knows is my favorite show, and we actually went through it twice, because we couldn't commit to another show. So we're like, let's just watch Suits again. So then we watched Breaking Bad, which I hated because it was so, so slow. I just couldn't take the slowness. Like it got good right at the very end, but the rest of it, I really protested every night.
And then there were some bits for me that were really slow, like the episode with the fly. I needed that show.
I live tweeted the fly episode fire. Just to.
You liked it?
I live tweeted it because I was so angry.
You live I thought you said you liked it. And I was like, Kelly, no, that was the slowest of all the episodes. But I remember watching it with Ben, and he is really into film and television. And he was like, oh, it was shot so beautifully. And I really liked the tension. I'm like, shut up, wanker. It was a terrible episode. It was really boring.
The show's people getting a bit cute and doing something for them rather than something for the audience. And, you know, that's fine. I get it. But at the same time, it still made me really angry because I was like, I'm watching this stupid show every night. I don't like any of these people except maybe Jesse.
Also, just for people who haven't watched Breaking Bad, I can tell you about this episode because it will ruin nothing. Just in the middle of this incredibly huge storyline about drugs and gangs and like money laundering, they just pause the whole story and two people chase a fly around a room for an entire 45 minutes. And it is exactly the way I just described it. It's really boring.
You can skip that episode if you have not yet watched Breaking Bad. When you get to it, you will know it straight away. And trust me, skip to the end. Don't sit around. Nothing good's going to happen. There's no payoff because this is a thing.
You don't miss anything.
When you watch something like that, you're like, there is going to be a big payoff at the end of this episode. And nope, there was nothing. So Anyway.
See, sorry, this is just another thing that Kelly and I bond over because we really hate people wasting their time, including TV show producers. So while most people were happy to sit there and just enjoy the lovely, you know, performances of the incredible actors, Kelly and I, like, you are literally wasting our time.
This could be, this show could be so much faster and still as effective as what it is now. So that was annoying me about that. And then after we watched Breaking Bad, we watched the first season of Narcos, which I also hated because I do not want to watch awful people doing awful things to nice people. So those were kind of ant shows, and I'm like, right, I'm taking back, you know, the reign of the remote control. And then we started watching Designated Survivor, and we loved that, and we got through. And then we're like, okay, everybody's been telling us to watch The Good Wife. If you love Suits, watch The Good Wife. But it was 7 seasons, so it's just such a big commitment. And again, it's just like
a huge commitment.
It's just like, if we commit to this show, like, this is it. This is our life for the next, like, 4 or 5 months. But anyway, we committed, and it's just the right kind of show to be watching just before bedtime. So it's, you know, it's smart, there's good characters, there's twists and turns in every episode, but every episode gets neatly wrapped up. There's an ongoing narrative thread. So yes, it is perfect. And right now is particularly perfect because it just, like, you know, days are so full on at the moment that this, having Good Wife each night, you know, it's just that little something to look forward to with your partner. And then it just winds you down before bed. And yes, it's another thing that is totally saving me at the moment. So not going to say
my number 5 is massive beeswax wraps. So I've been using these little small beeswax wraps. That's really hard to say.
Yeah,
try saying beeswax wraps. If you're listening to this podcast, try saying it out loud really, really fast. It's really hard. So I've been using those things for a few years now on things like avocado and half finished veggies, because I wanted to cut down on using cling wrap, particularly on food that I heat up. I'm not like a crazy, like, low tox person or anything, but just like hot, wet plastic on food just grosses me out.
Can they go in the microwave though?
No, they can't go in the microwave, but you just take it off, and I just microwave it, like,
with no cover.
A microwave avocado. Yeah, no cover, or just like a plate on top of it or something.
Gotcha.
Where's my brain at? Oh, yeah. So I wanted to get some of the, like, really, really big ones for, you know, family-sized meals and stuff, but they're really expensive, so I just kept avoiding it. So my brother-in-law actually got us some for Christmas, and we literally use them every week. They're so good. I use it for – because I make, like, a big curry and a big frittata every weekend, and I use it to cover up that, and you can just reuse it again and again. And then at the end of the week, you just give it a scrub with cold soapy water, because hot water melts the beeswax. And then you just hang them out to dry. And I mean, I still occasionally use Glad wrap if I'm, like, going to someone else's house or something, but they just really cut down on waste. And yeah, I don't love hot Glad wrap on my food. So it's not really for any particular reason. It's just, it's gross. And it makes the food taste weird.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do look at Glad wrap in kind of my, when it goes in the microwave, I'm like, there's a better way. And yeah, I've got a plastic cover now that I use. Okay, so my next thing that is totally saving my life is my bike, because I cannot run at the moment because I did the medial ligament in my knee. And so, like, the only form of intense exercise I can do is on my bike. Like, I do these Tabata 20-second on, 10-second off things. And hopefully my physio is not listening because he didn't kind of say I could do that, but it doesn't hurt when I do that. So I think that's a fairly good sign. And I just really crave intense exercise. So going for a gentle walk, or going for a 1 minute run with a 1 minute walk with a 1 minute run. And the most I can do is 5 minutes of running, is not doing it for me at the moment. And the other thing was, my cleaner, who hasn't seen me for about 6 weeks because they went home and now they're back in Australia, she kind of, I don't know, I was wearing like an Empire Line dress, which is probably never a good thing.
I kind of feel like I know where this is going.
So my cleaner, she's Bhutanese, so maybe there are different conventions around saying these things.
Sorry, what did you say she is?
She's from Bhutan. Is that Bhutanese? Yeah. So anyway,
I thought you said she's a bit Chinese.
Oh, no, so,
and
no.
I was like, what? How are you? I don't understand what you just meant by that. No, I'm all good. Yeah.
On she's board. From Bhutan, and she's amazing. But she said to me, oh, And she looks at me and she pats her stomach and she goes, "Oh, ma'am, you put on a bit of weight." And I was just like, I hurt my knee and I haven't been able to exercise for a month. And I actually thought I was doing quite well because I don't weigh myself. So I don't know if I have or haven't. But yeah, so that was like, that's it. I'm like, I'm on my bike. Oh, I'm doing my intense exercise because, and it's like 20 minutes, but it's again, saving my life at the moment because, yeah, I felt really bad about myself after that.
Oh, no.
And it was
never okay.
Yeah.
Never okay. Never
okay. So, yes, your next thing, Carls.
My next thing is Chrissy's going to love this, but it's Chrissy from Hair Romance. So she is a blogger friend of mine for years and years and years, and she has a hair blog that I mention a lot, Hair Romance. And she introduced me to this curly girl method. It's a whole thing. If you've got curly hair, Google the curly girl method. To be honest, I don't follow it exactly, but there have just been some excellent tips that I've picked up that have given my hair back its volume and curl. My hair's been kind of slowly getting like softer and droopier. And that's like, I'm just really, and I mean,
it's
I know
a bad combination for curly hair.
I think soft and droopy is a bad combination for everything. Yeah. I don't think anyone wants anything to be soft and droopy.
Oh, God.
Just throwing it out there. So yeah, I've been like, and I know that people would laugh because my hair always looks huge, but I shit you not, I had like a white girl Diana Ross fro in when I was in high school. Like I was dealing with so much hair, and it's probably at about half its mast at the moment. But there's just something about my hair that. It needs to just be scrappy and huge, or otherwise I don't feel like myself. Yeah. I know that sounds really weird, but and I never used to have to think about it until recently when it started getting soft and droopy and I needed to do something about it. But it's so good. And I've just, you know, I've cut back on using sulfates and I do like a co-washing thing. And Chrissy's just been fantastic. So she's got a Facebook group that is facebook.com/groups hair romance crew. She's got some amazing videos and she's been so incredibly patient with my hair, but I just like her enthusiasm is just incredible. And because I like, you know, because we're mates, I just text her and I'll be like, "Chrissy, my hair's doing this, what should I do?" And I'll be like, "Chrissy, my hair is doing, what should I do now?" And she's so enthusiastic, she'll be like, well, why don't you try this, and here's this other product. And she goes, "You know what, I'll pop some in a post bag and just send it to you." Like, she's just been on this whole hair journey with me for the last 2 years, so she's saving my hair right now, and or consequently my life, because I identify quite strongly with my hair, which sounds strange, but it's a thing.
Oh, that's awesome. How Chrissy feels about curly hair is how I feel about editing and writing. We would do it for free. But, you know, if you want to pay us to do it as well, happy to. My next thing that is saving my life is English breakfast tea, because I'm taking a break from coffee at the moment because it does seem to be affecting my sleep and I kind of need all the sleep I can get at the moment. So, yes, I'm drinking a lot of English breakfast tea. Tea takes...
It's delightful.
But it's so much faster to drink than coffee. Like I go through a cup of coffee much slower than I go through a cup of tea. Like I'll be drinking a cup of tea and then I feel like three sips later it's gone. I'm like, well, I need to go have another one now because that just did not do it for me. So I feel like I'm drinking kind of three times as much tea as I normally do coffee. And I don't think you can kind of drink too much tea, but still, if you can, I'm trying at the moment.
English breakfast tea is delightful. I think everyone should have at least several cups a day. Yeah. That was one thing when we went to America and we just couldn't get a kettle in any of our hotel rooms. We were going, what? How do you guys not drink tea? Like just finding tea was really hard.
Oh.
And we would drink 2 to 3 cups each a day. Without even thinking about it. And it's just, yeah, when we were traveling around America, you could get ice anywhere you wanted to. You could just get buckets and buckets of ice, cup of tea. Ooh, I don't know, maybe the 7-Eleven down the road's
what?
Open.
Oh, how weird.
Yeah, for real. It was so weird. So my number 7 is meal planning and preparation. I now have a kitchen that's not a hallway, which is fantastic. So I spend about 3 hours in the kitchen every Sunday making curries and frittata and savory mince and that kind of thing. So all of our meals are covered for the week. It means that like we don't cook or clean during the week at all. And when the weekend rolls around, our fridge is completely empty and free from those like gross slimy bags of spinach. rich that we never got around to eating. It's just such a lifesaver. And I just pop on a podcast and get down to it. I've got a pressure cooker that I bought over the holidays and it is amazing. You can just cook amazing tender curries in 20 minutes, which is why my meal planning is just so efficient at the moment, because you can make risotto in 20 minutes. You can make like, it's unbelievable. It's a, it cost me like $100, but it's so good. The only thing I don't like about it though, and this is going to make me sound like such an internet girl, but everything that you make in the pressure cooker just looks like vomit.
Yeah.
And you can't,
it's like the slow cooker. Everything I cook in a slow cooker just tastes the same in the end. And I'm like, and it's just, there's a certain level of blandness that I just don't seem to be able to overcome. Yeah, but pressure cookers scare me because they can explode, right?
Yeah, well, it's weird. Everyone keeps saying that they can, but I think that you just need to read the instructions.
Yeah, you just have to be an adult and, like, do what it says.
But these people are like, because there's a little steam valve, and when you're done, you open up the steam valve, and all these people are just like, ah, the steam went right in my face. And the thing is that you have to have your face right over the steam valve for that to happen. So I don't,
it's like, don't every know. Time I open the oven and this like blast of steamed air comes out at me, and I'm surprised like every time it happens. And I'm just like, when are you going to learn, Kelly, for the love of God?
I'm the same. Like, I open up the oven and you're just kind of going, how did I forget that it's hot in here every time? And you just kind of, I always feel like I've burnt my eyeballs, because I go, because I'm looking. Like, the reason why I'm opening it is I'm going to look to make sure that thing's cooked. And then you just like, eh, now I have no eyelashes.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so my next thing is saving my life. And I have kind of mentioned it a few times, so we're kind of starting like an ad for it now. But it's my book coaching group. So being dragged back into a graphic and web design business has given me just a lovely reminder of how hard a business it is to be in, which, you know, people wouldn't think. But the thing is, when it comes to design, everybody not only has their different preferences and likes and dislikes. So somebody can look at something and go, that's perfect. And the other person can go, oh my God, that's horrible. But they have different understandings of the process. And quite often they have quite unreasonable expectations of what a designer will do for, you know, $120 an hour. Like, quite often they think that you're going to do a lot of research and, yeah, people just don't have a real understanding of the process. Like, it's either you want us to execute what you told us to do, or, and in which case it will cost less, or either you want us to put a huge amount of thought and development into this idea before we even start designing, in which case it's going to cost a lot more. But people want the latter for the less price. Anyway, it's a poorly understood industry if you don't work in it, and which means you're just always managing expectations that are a bit beyond what's realistic, and you're always having to educate people, and it's really tiring. So whereas on the other side of the coin is my book coaching group, where people's expectations are actually really low. Like, they're like, I'm in this book coaching group, I want to, you know, write my book, I just need your help in getting me there. And because it's something, you know, I've done, I'm quite knowledgeable about it, I have answers to everyone's questions, it's easy to kind of blow people away. So it's just such a lovely place to be right now, because I'm like, okay, here, because I like exceeding people's expectations. It's just I like under promising and over delivering. Well, actually, I like over promising and then over delivering, but I'm trying not to do that anymore, because that's a bad way to approach life. But yeah, it's just nice where people are like, I don't really know what to expect. All I know is I need this help with this thing. And then I can help them more than they actually, beyond what they thought I could actually do. And it's just nice. So, and it's just making me happy at a time when, yeah, the graphic design side of things is a lot of educating and going, well, I had no idea that that's what you had in your mind, or that was what your expectation was.
And people not
was.
Valuing what you're doing.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly it. It's very hard for people. I think they think that graphic designers, they just make things look pretty, which is what we do, but what you think looks pretty and what the next person thinks looks pretty are two often different things, and we've got to figure that out. So there's a lot of mind reading that has to happen. And there's a lot of asking the right questions to understand what people's expectations are so that you can deliver on them. It's not the same from person to person. So yeah, it's just really tiring. And I just love my book group right now because they're making me happy. So thank you, everybody. Anyone who's in there, thank you very much. So yeah.
I'm actually going to do my next one because this ties into it. But my one thing that's saving my life at the moment is Crochet Coach, because I have just this beautiful group of crochets. They're just so gorgeous. And it's just such a privilege to be able to share my favorite thing with such a beautiful group of people. And they're just so supportive and kind and enthusiastic. And I honestly just could not have handpicked a better community. I also just love watching the newbies learn and seeing them fall in love with this like really calming yet productive activity. And I love how, cause a lot of the stuff that we do, both of us in the writing that we do on our blogs, and also the stuff that we do on the podcast, it can be quite heavy.
Yeah.
It brings out things in people, and it's a lot, most of the time it's very, very positive. But if you put an idea out there for self-improvement, it can trigger people. And I often get weird, well, not weird, kind of feedback from people, that have been triggered by something that I've said. And it made them feel awful, or it made them feel worthless, and that kind of stuff. And I kind of feel like I'm constantly, well, not censoring, but.
But it's everything, there's a little bit of a landmine in everything, because everybody's situation is different. And a lot of self-improvement stuff comes from a privileged place. Like, you know, if you're if you're fighting for survival,
you don't have time to go to F45.
Yeah, that's right. So, And so it's very easy to hit someone in a spot where they're like, well, you know, good for you that you can do that, but I can't. And they'll quite often lash out at you. And I totally get it. But at the same time, everything that we say, all the things we say has to, you know, be taken with a grain of salt, with the understanding that it's coming from a certain kind of life. And it's hard sometimes because you want to be empathetic to every situation out there, but you can't be, and you can't caveat every single thing that you say online. And sometimes it feels like you should.
Exactly. And that's the whole thing, is that like it, and you know, after being 10 years in the self-improvement space, I have no intention of leaving this space. I love it. It's my passion, and I really enjoy the communities that I've built in that area and that we've built. Like our Straight and Curly community is out of control brilliant, and I love it. But there's just something about Crochet Coach that is just so pure and so
simple.
It's so simple. Yeah. And it's just, you know, and it's impossible to offend someone. I show them how to do this skill, and then they do it, and then they make this beautiful thing, and they give it to someone, and that person loves it. And it's just this lovely, it's just such an escape from all of the other stuff that I do.
And don't you find it's again, almost like comes down to expectation management. And I think I'm finding this as a bit of a theme in my life, is that I feel calm and chilled with the world when I know what's expected of me from whoever, whatever area of my life I am in. And I can once I know what's expected of me, I can confidently deliver on that expectation, and then I feel calm and in control. But when the goalposts are moving all the time, or when like something comes at you from left field and you're like, whoa, I did not see that coming, it just throws you for a loop a lot. So it's like when you have these simpler places in your life where the expectations are clear and the people are nice and it's just easy to make people happy, it's so nice, isn't it?
It is. It's such a pleasure. Oh, and I'll just wrap up with my last one. I've also got a group of online business ladies that I am a part of, and they're just so supportive. And I got introduced to them through my friend Kate from Secret Bloggers Business. And if I just need help with anything, or a self-esteem boost or some more clients, they just always come through for me. And I really appreciate that group because they're all at much higher levels in their business than I am. So I really love putting myself into the fray of people who are achieving at a higher level than me, because it forces me to strive and gives me ideas for things that I haven't yet tried. And I feel very privileged to be a part of a group of such smart women who are giving their time to me and helping me be more like them.
Oh, yeah. We all need groups like that where they just get it, where you can, you don't have to go explain anything. Like when you go in and say something, everyone gets it, and then everyone can just jump straight in and help without you having to give your whole life story. It's amazing. My final thing that's saving my life right now, and it's going to sound a bit soppy, but is my husband. I do have to give him a bit of a shout out because, well, he's kind of been saving my life for about 20 years that we've been together. So let's be honest. And it's mainly because nothing phases him and a lot phases me. So when the pressure is on, like he's just kind of like this, I'm like a storm and he's the rock, and he just stands there and gets buffeted. And then, you know, when things calm down, he's like, okay, let's move on. And it's just, and he's another thing he's done. So he's really taught me how to switch off. So he's kind of one of those people that he'll go, he'll sit down in the office and at 8:30 and he will not, you know, look up again until 4. But when he leaves the office and comes home, like he's out, he's done, his head is switched off. And he's really taught me that skill over the years, because before I just used to be lost in my head all day. If there were lots of things that were worrying me, I'd be thinking about them all the time. But he's kind of taught me the skill of going, okay, you shut your computer, now's the time to shut your mind off from all that stuff. You can come back to it tomorrow. And yeah, and he just kind of, he loves me unconditionally. He makes the whole family laugh every day. Like that's his role in our family, is to be the joker and to make everyone laugh. Like I'm the nurturer and the one who's there to, if you need emotional support, I'm good at emotional support. Bant's good at just making people laugh. The worse the situation is, the harder he goes with the laughter thing. And the kids kind of just roll their eyes at him, but secretly they love it. And yes, so he's totally saving my life right now. Thank you, honey. I know you don't listen to the podcast, but there you go.
See, I was going to say Ben, but then I kind of feel like I sing his praises all the time.
I reckon.
So I was like,
everyone knows Ben's awesome, but I feel like I don't give Ant enough of a shout. I think I make, because my favorite thing is making fun of the things that he does. You know, he does a lot of things that are easy to make fun of, and I feel like I have a lot of jokes or a lot of fun at his expense. So I thought maybe I should actually give him a shout out for being actually awesome, which he is. So yes, there you go.
Oh, that's very nice. You should make him listen to
him. Yeah, and I'm like, you know, I won't tell him that we don't mention him till like right at the very end. So
just skip right through. Well, that just about wraps it up for today. Don't forget that we do have a book available for sale, and it's about diets and lifestyle detoxes. It's not just about diets. It's also about detoxing from social media, taking weekends off. Oh, we need to do one of those again, actually.
Yeah, we do. Do it soon.
Yeah, really.
Note to self.
I'm actually challenged this time. You can buy it at straightandcurly.com and just click on the book tab. We've also finally set up a Patreon page, which is live and kicking.
Yes, and we have two goals for our Patreon page. And the first goal, so let's get to that one first, is to get to $500 a month of pledges. And we're about a fifth of the way towards that goal at the moment. And that would just all that does is pay for our costs, basically. We're not swimming in cash or buying Ferraris out of that amount. It's literally just paying the cost of the production of the show. So if you do love listening to the show and you want to support it via Patreon, just visit patreon.com/straightandcurly.
I'd also like to thank our newest patrons, Marianne and Jane. You guys are awesome.
Thank you so much, Marianne and Jane. And yes, so this week, if you've listened to the episode, which you obviously have because you've gotten this far, jump into the Facebook group discussion and just let us know what three things are saving your life right now. So feel free to give, you know, the people in your life who are doing awesome things for you a bit of a shout out. And, you know, favorite products and stuff, we would love hearing about them as well. Everybody loves recommendations, so totally hit us up.
Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.